Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them this week for some great live music on Tuesday, December 11th. I'll be over there with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, 7 to 9, $5 cover at the door, bringing along my friends Langan Neubacher, Devin Cahill, Irene Allen, and Jeremy Essig for that show. Going to be a great time. Excited about that. And Thursday, December 13th, Vail and Carson from the Scandaleros. Friday, December 14th, John Bonham and Friends. And Saturday, December 15th, Brian Curran and Greg Silsby. Find all this information and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
We.
Circa.
Kirko Mix.
Rock, Paper,
Rock, Circa. Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock,
Circa.
Band, Podcast.
Kirko.
Podcast.
Fun times.
Rock, Paper, Podcast. Rock, Paper, Podcast. Rock, Paper, Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock, Paper, Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out with the guys of Circo. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
You all want to go around the mic and introduce yourselves and I guess what you do in the band?
I'm Jeremy. Obviously, I'm the drummer and do a little bit of the booking, but starting to get a little more help with that here and there from Cody and... someone that we're working with as far as, you know, some out-of-state booking stuff. So, but other than that, yeah, I just play drums to the songs that Kyle and Jake write.
And I just play bass, and I'm here for the free snacks.
What's your name?
Oh, I'm Jesse Cruisin'. Sorry.
Kyle, guitar and vocals.
Cody, I do some visual stuff and manage and... help with whatever we need to do.
And I'm Jake, and I kick ass and take names, and I play the keyboards.
And I like to party.
I know for a fact that you don't party.
I like to party, too.
Well, this is our second time hanging out, which last time Dose. We had a real good time. Now we have a brand new... debut album to talk about, which is really exciting.
Yeah, we talked about getting in the studio the last time we were on, I think, actually.
Yeah, and you guys went and did it. Made it happen.
None did it.
Yep. So we had the release party and the big show and then all that. So let's get it out there. We got December 15th at the Bootleg, and this is a party. You guys been doing this...
This will be the third one?
It's our three-year anniversary party. And so we got this album done, I think it was in April, and we just kept putting it off. I mean, to be honest, we were all out of town over the summer, and we played a lot of shows. And then eventually we were like, let's just release this thing at our anniversary party. That'd be pretty cool. So give us some time to hype it up and come out with some cool promo videos, which I'm sure we'll talk about. It was a good time.
So December 15th over at the Bootleg with brother Francis and the Soul Tones.
Love those guys. Kicking
the night off for you.
Those dudes are pretty amazing.
Yeah. I recently had them on the show as well and had a great time hanging out and getting to meet them all. Great people and a lot of fun to talk to and hang out with. So.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, this would be the release party. Are we having physicals? Physical copies available that evening as well.
Yep. Yeah, we got a whole stack of them sitting right over there somewhere.
Those boxes right there.
There we go. And we're going to give you a little sneak peek of what
these guys have been working on throughout this show. And but let's talk about that process. How was the whole experience in the studio recording and stuff?
It was very much a learning process because we, like, well, we obviously write the songs. Well, a couple of us write the songs. But anyway, but we improvise a lot of jams, you know. So when we're trying to improvise in the studio, it's really hard to commit, you know, because we've done it 100 different ways, and you're just like, man, what's the best way to do it? And the craziest thing is trying to catch lightning in a bottle, and we were able to do that a couple times in a few of our jams, but at the same time, we were kind of rushed and we don't have much money, so we weren't able to, like, really refine it as much as we want to for our fans and for, like, everyone's sake. But for what it is, hey, we're just doing our darn thing and doing our best, and we're really proud of it. So it's just a darn miracle that, you know, we've all been able to stick with it.
I feel like we tried to go for some of the improvisational, like, aspect on the music so you could kind of get an idea, but still, when you go to archive.org, I mean, you'll see that our live stuff is, you know, I mean, that's where it's at as far as, you know, if you're a jam fan. But I think the album gives kind of a good little taste of that, but we tried not to overdo it. So I think we tried to keep everything around 7 minutes, and, you know, we've been known to go over 20 a few times in some jams. So.
Well, I do find that fun, though. Like, you know, that's what I do love about live music, in the sense that, like, you know, you can have a great record, and some bands, I've seen them live, and they sound just like the record. And that's fine, you know, but it's nice when you can go and you get a completely different show than what you already know and stuff. I mean, like, so there might be, like, you know, the basis of what that track is, but, you know, like you're saying, all the improv that comes with it along with the live show and stuff, that's where all the fun is, I think, so.
And even with a couple of the takes in the studio, like, it was hard to decide at the end which one to choose, because, like, out of 3 or 4 takes of some of the songs, it was like, wow, that's radically different from the other version, and it's like, which one's, you know, objectively better? It's hard to say. It's just, you know, we kind of decided which
one.
Got
to teach ourselves to be selective.
We could eventually release some of those.
Yeah, some of the B-sides, because, I mean, they're really cool, and, like, especially with, like, I think it was, like, the Liftoff and Elevator, there was, like, 2 versions on either of them that was, like, it's like totally different jams that came out of them, you know?
Jake had the most fun playing Back Again on that album.
Oh, yeah.
In the studio.
I was done playing that one. I think after, like, the 9th or 10th take we did of it or something crazy like that, we had been all up all night the night before playing a gig, and it was a late one, and we didn't get much sleep. And, yeah, on about the 10th take, we finished it, and I was like, all right, we're done with that one. We'll go back and listen.
Was that eight hours in the studio?
We had multiple good versions. We just were, like, for some reason not.
Yeah, when we went back and listened, we were happy with what we had. So we would have sat down and redid it if we weren't.
Another cool thing I think that is good to mention, too, is we actually recorded that album. I think actually it was done. We were done doing all the studio, like the music and stuff, at the end of March. And because that gig he was talking about was in March with Jennifer Hartswick. And that was prior to any of us really taking lessons. And since then, we've all, you know, started taking lessons. Kyle's doing guitar and vocal lessons. Jake's doing key lessons with Al Holiday, which is also his vocal teacher. Actually, their vocal teacher. He's doing bass lessons. I'm doing drum lessons. So I think, you know, when we go in the studio here in a couple months, you know, this next album, it's going to be, like, extremely different than the first one, too. You'll be able to tell a big difference, I think, musically.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where did you record it?
Fat Buddha, actually, with Ross Vanderslice.
That's where Nelly did Country Grammar.
Awesome,
I'm from the Lou, and I'm proud. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff.
Well, speaking of shimmying, let's... release the singles out there now, the Liftoff.
Yes.
There's a little shimmying down in that song, right?
Lifting, yeah, there is a shimmy down.
Lifting often, shimmying down.
Yeah. Something like that. You'd have to ask Kyle. I don't
even think Kyle knew for a while what he was saying.
Yeah, last minute I was just going in. It's like, all right, I got to say the same thing now over and over again. So. Make my decision.
Yeah, Lift Off was a song that I originally wrote before I met these guys, and I recorded like a rough version on GarageBand.
And then we just came in and wrecked it.
Yeah. And then Kyle put some vocals to it. So.
Well, that's what I liked to listening to it on. I listened to it on the way over, and like, it's almost like two different songs, because the first half is kind of fun, kind of uplifting a little bit, you know, it was like just more of a positive kind of feel to it, just kind of and then all of a sudden, like 3 minutes in, it gets like weird and takes you on a ride.
Actually, one of my best friends just yesterday was talking to me. He was listening to that new release we put out on Spotify of Lift Off from the studio from the new album, and he's seen us, you know, throughout the last 3 years, I don't even know how many times, but plenty, and he was like, I never knew that was two different songs, or I never knew that was one song, I always thought that was two songs that you guys always played next to each other.
Yeah.
And I think I've noticed that at the shows too. You know, we'll go from the you know, the part that's the chorus and the verse part of the song, and then into that little interlude, which is like the dark kind of diminished key. But you'll hear people in the crowd right before we go into that. They kind of think we've wrapped the song up, and then we just drop right into that.
I imagined if you guys did a music video to that song, I thought it'd be funny kind of thing. I had this like, I do it a lot when I listen to music, just kind of the imagery starts going through my head, and like I just imagine like a little animated character. Yeah. And then like, but like at the beginning of the movie, the beginning of the video, he like drops acid or something.
And then like drinks a lot. We do not approve the usage of mind altering drugs.
You know, this is all hypothetical. But it takes like 3 minutes for it to kick in, and then all of a sudden like the second half is when it's all taking a hold and starts getting really weird. And
I'd say there might be a little inspiration there.
Yeah,
for sure. But another thing, something actually that multiple people told me over the last week after releasing that is they heard like a Primus or like Les Claypool vibe, which I've never noticed. Like, obviously, we all love Primus and anything Les Claypool personally. I'm sure all these guys do too, but I thought that was pretty weird. But yeah, that middle part freaks everybody out. Another song that we have like that, which is on the album, is called Year. And you think that song's over too, and then another song starts, which technically it does, because they were two songs.
Those were actually two different songs
put together, but it's another one that's like, oh wait, this is still the same song.
Yeah,
and to be honest, that's my personal favorite on the album, I believe.
Yeah,
so
that's
I can't
a good
wait
one.
To get that
and
one there.
And that second part in Year, where it switches up into a different key, that was something when Jesse and Kyle and I lived together. You know, we were down in the basement just kind of recording stuff and coming up with ideas. And
don't tell them about the basement.
That's all we'll talk about with Jesse's lair. This was Jesse's little...
I was living in the basement at that time. That was hard. Yeah, that was good times.
Jesse thought that the basement was possessed by evil demons. But that was really just all of his
probably
dirty laundry.
Probably just the heater kicking on or something.
Plates and with food on them and
that
on the bed.
Not even historically accurate.
Jesse's getting red over here.
But anyways, we recorded that part of the song, and we had that recorded for like since the first couple
years.
Months we knew each other, and Kyle came to the table at band practice with the song Year, and which originally was just the first half of that song, and at the ending. We kind of came up with, well, why don't we just drop into that thing that we've never really known where to put it or what to do with it? And we did, and it fit perfectly. So,
and that song goes type 2 like a mofo.
Yeah.
Because of that. Long. Like, it wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for that part.
Right,
so
it's kind
of
the second part.
That's been like one of our jam vehicles for a while.
The main part of the song, the beginning, is definitely more within a... it's got a little more boundaries on it, but the second part... we're able to really break out of it.
We just played a version of that at the Oyster Bar. It's the most recent show on Archive, so if you
November
go there,
16th.
It's going to be the first thing that pops up, and that's pretty
depending
good. If
on
you like jams.
that was a fun night with old Cluster Pluck over there.
Yeah, they killed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 300 pounds of food, dude.
Yeah, I was collecting it.
I love those guys. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, those guys were... we were all really grateful to be a part of that. They took really good care of us. Oyster Bar always takes care of us. We love those guys. And,
it was a great night.
It really was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
There was a guy in a chicken suit, so.
Yeah. What more did I thought Peter Griffin was going to come whoop that ass.
Yeah, I had to work early the next morning after that, and my plan was to just kind of go play, check out Cluster Pluck for a little bit, and then get home so I could get to bed, and all of a sudden... Cluster Pluck was done, and it was nearly 3 a.m.
that happens to me about every weekend.
Yeah,
I know, it's great.
It's like, I'm just going to stop in for a song or two, and then, all right, 3 a.m., everybody out.
St. Louis would seriously suck without that place. Yeah. It's crazy.
Sure, man. Let's talk about Back Again.
This is a exclusive premiere, right?
Yep. Yeah, for you only. Yeah. Until December 15th, it will be on all major platforms, mm-hmm. but you can only find it right here until then.
On Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Paper podcast. Yeah, we just talked about
that. Put all these over here. Keep squishing. What do you guys want to share about Beck again?
Beck again's got a good story.
I wrote that song.
He's lying.
It was the first song written by the band.
Yeah, well, it came about. I went to go jam with Kyle and Jeremy for the first time, and we were just kind of messing around on some stuff. And actually, the little interlude riff in that song after the main singing part was a little riff that I had written a few years back, and I'd brought it to the table with an old band, and it didn't get that much interest and kind of just never became a thing. And then I had always wanted it to be like in a song, you know, playing it with a band, so that was one of the first things I thought to do. And we mixed that with just a little D major thing that Kyle came up with some vocals over it, and
once again.
Yeah, that was our first song that we wrote as a band.
Which is so weird to think about, because it's like one of our, it's like a slow song. We look at it as a slow song. We'll usually,
it's not
like
a slow song.
It starts off slow.
I mean, it's like something we put in the middle of a set to bring it down for a minute, you know? But,
and it kind of just created itself overnight, didn't it?
Well, I think it's kind of cool.
Besides the lyrics and then Jesse and I working on the harmonies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was kind of, all kind of got created in one night, which is pretty neat.
Fun.
I just, what do you say? You said it was a ballad?
Boys.
Yeah, it was kind of a ballad. I was thinking of those old.
It really does.
It's a rockin' ballad.
Those Time Life commercials, monster ballads and stuff.
Those are great. We should make a mock version of that for our CD with like the song scrolling down and it's like some spokesperson like Serco Volume 1. Get your copy today. Call this number now.
You can make it happen if anybody can, Cody.
We should do a music video too. A couple music videos.
Well, I just pitched my idea for music video, so
I like it. A rock opera.
We had no idea. We just sat here and he just kept us on camera for hours. And we had no idea how this promo video is going to go for Winter Disco. And he used part of Liftoff for the background music. There's a little bit of footage of us in the studio. But I don't know if you ever watched Tim and Eric or if you've ever seen it. But it had like a super Tim and Eric vibe. You can see it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
It was pretty cool.
I mean, with like 2 hours of recording footage, like it's great. And we'll release it as like B-roll, just like band interview questions, stuff about us. But like out of the 2 hours I recorded, like you were the only person that said the words Winter Disco, and you only said them once. Like, promo video, like I need to we're throwing this party December 15th. Come on out, Winter Disco album release, and like literally it was not said once. You said Winter Disco once. I used the because Kyle had said it. And the little thing I did with that.
Sometimes we get a little.
That's why I mix that in. But like, that's my bad too. We were.
Hey man, and listening to us talk for, you know, doing 2 hours of footage would make you go crazy.
It's great.
But we did learn that you guys like dogs, so.
Yeah.
And we like party.
Yeah.
Fun time, dog
party. Long time.
Well, we do have a big party again, December 15th, Winter Disco at the Bootleg in the Grove. Album release party with Brother Francis and the Soul Tones. $10 tickets. Are those available online now?
Sure are. To be honest, I don't know exactly what the ticket link is, but it's on the
Facebook.
It's on the event page. If you just go to the event page, you can buy tickets right through the event.
Yeah, well, check that out. And like I said, you've already heard two tracks from the record. How many total on that album?
Eight songs total?
Eight songs. It's about an hour's worth.
Yeah.
Five with vocals, three instrumentals
in there.
Yep. So you guys are saying now you got this the record's done, and like I said, we got the release party coming and all that. You guys kind of want to get out on the road and see how people start responding to this stuff?
Well, we just had a 3-day run last week and it went really well, and we're trying to get a vehicle to start touring because we teamed up with our buddy Cody J. Deal of Deal Media Tribe, and this dude goes hard in the paint with the visual enjoyment. Like, you could watch his stuff and feel like you're in outer space, and we just like creating an environment that just like, I don't know, like, I hate to say psychedelic, but, like, I don't know, that's kind of what we're all about.
Well, it's like an audiovisual, like, immersive, more of like an experience, you know?
Right, and it's like, I don't know, it's worth checking out, and I haven't seen anything quite like it.
Well, thanks, bud.
And I'm really flattered to just be putting on, like, a serious show. You know, it's just, like, a visual and auditory assault on, like, the status quo, you know?
We just released our whole show from Eureka Springs, Arkansas, where we played a couple weeks ago on YouTube.
What? It's on there?
Yeah.
You gotta tell people.
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube as of, like, an hour ago.
Oh, tight.
Every song individually uploaded, then I'm gonna upload the whole show.
That sounds podcast, fun. Fun time, boys.
Yeah, but there's a example of the visuals with the music. we are super lucky to bring to the road.
So
yeah,
yeah.
Because, yeah, if I was going to try to impress a friend and, like, take him to Crazy Town, I'd probably take him to a Circo show. And it's, like, cool that, like...
We should cover Crazy Town.
Should go.
Dude, yeah. That's
Jake exactly loves that song.
Come my late. No, that is not true. That's a lie. 9-year-old Jake liked that song.
That was,
He still plays Now Volume 1. It's one of the 6 CDs in his Subaru Outback.
Yeah. I still love, like... coming to the studio that second time, you're just like rolling up all hot, like
blasting
Linkin Park. We're just like out there like waiting, like smoking or something, and you're like crawling in my
slamming coffee heads around.
I don't take
like,
shit from parents.
Especially when they take your Xbox away.
Right. It's like you can hide the Xbox unforgivable controller, but I know it's in the third drawer right next to all your little weird rubber toys, and
I will go to
that. I know where to find it.
Where were we talking?
What were we talking about again?
parties.
Going to Crazy Town.
Yeah, so that little run was cool. Yeah, it was pretty great. Successful. There's a lot of people to thank for that. I mean, the 3 inches of snow that probably screwed us in Columbia. That was cool, but. Pat Kay, you know, he's always hooking it up out there. We're appreciative of that.
Pat's the man.
Marcus Phillips, I mean, he brought a
Love
crowd.
Bomb Productions.
And Level Up. I mean, I shouldn't, you know, Level Up and Marcus, they brought a good crowd and took really good care of us out there. And then, you know, the farm, Virgil and Marina are like, literally like family to me. I've known them for years, like a decade at least. And, it was a little celebration for their tie-dye company. Actually, 10 years.
Yeah.
And that, I've literally met them, like, pretty much right around that time. But that was fun. It was nice to meet John Walker. He threw us some really cool festivals down there at the farm. You know, Hillberry and Spaceberry and Highberry. Deadhead Productions, I think they're called. So we look forward to hopefully, you know, getting back there one day. It's a really, really beautiful spot, but... Yeah, that was cool. So I think in April, we actually have a booking agent that's helping us get out to Colorado and some regional stuff that will probably land us in Nebraska, Iowa, probably Wisconsin,
Chicago,
Illinois. So we'll probably do Peoria. We might even do Peoria like in January. I'm trying to work on that currently, but
we want to go back to Springfield again though too.
Yeah, Springfield, that I'm working on a January date then too, so that was a really fun town to play in actually.
Yeah, Springfield, Missouri.
We'll be doing that
Springfest
down there too.
Yeah, in May we're playing Springfest, and then we're also playing another festival right down there like the weekend before or after.
Peach Tree down south.
We're headlining I think Saturday night of that festival. So really grateful for that too. Clinton Dickens, I believe is his name, is the guy that runs that down there. It'll be our first time working with him, but I'm looking forward to it. They have like a, it just seems like a real family vibe as far as like the crowd that we've come in contact with so far down in that area. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess you can follow everything Circo on Facebook and Instagram, right?
Instagram and CircoGrooves.com, or is it CircoGrooves.com? Sorry.
Yeah.
According to Kyle, it's www.CircoGrooves.com.
Don't like the third W, man.
Just got against the W's.
Just one too many.
W.
There's one W we got a big problem with, probably, but we'll leave that name.
He's a painter now. He's an artist.
He's just waiting for the third W to get.
I said we'll let him remain nameless, man.
I don't even know this W.
I wish we didn't know.
Wallace.
It's unfortunate.
Hey, don't you dare talk about my man like that.
Well, we got a break real quick in the conversation. There is a guy that we want to reach out to who's done a lot for us. Our buddy Kirk McDermott, who's just gone out on a limb, basically, to just spread our name. So if you see Kirk out there, Just give him a little, smack and just say,
give him a search on Facebook. Send him a message. He's a great.
We call him Dirty McDermott. So walk up to him.
Just call him Hey Dirt.
Yeah.
Dirt McDirt.
And only brown hair, no face. Just brown hair.
Kurt, he's gonna get his own song.
Yeah, we've been maybe thinking.
Come out to the Winter Disco. You'll probably see him.
Speaking of new songs, that's another thing to mention for Winter Disco. We're coming in hot with a few debuts. We've been kind of slacking. I mean, we have lots of new music, but we've been slacking on putting it out. We've just been like busy playing shows and really no excuse, but
partying.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Working on the album too, like the whole release process, just been.
Yeah, we've been focusing a lot on the album release, but really, we have right now. I mean, we have less than 3 weeks, but we have about 9 practices before then. We're doing 3 a week, so
trying to bust out what we can.
Yeah, so we're planning to have 3 to 4 at least, maybe a cover. I don't know. We haven't really decided. We don't really do covers, but we like to throw a surprise in there here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, it's always something fun, like, whenever somebody throws in a cover, especially something really unexpected. Like, you know, it's always just a good time. Like, you know, you love all the originals, but then somebody throws in a cover and you can all sing along and you know, everybody knows the words
to it. It gets everybody drawn back in, right. I feel like, too, that, like, maybe your jam, like, lost somebody that, like, some girlfriend that came with their boyfriend because he likes jam bands, and, you know.
Like a Limp Bizkit and Hootie and the Blowfish mashup.
It's like Sweet, they played Sweet.
Oh yeah, let's go back, babe. We butchered that song a couple times.
The 421 wasn't bad.
No, it was fun. It was fun.
Nightmares was a train wreck.
The first cover we ever did, which was a complete shocker probably to everyone, was Last Christmas by what's his name?
Yeah, George Michael. Yeah.
He died 2 days after we debuted that song.
On Christmas.
So then you guys were like afraid to cover music.
Yeah,
you're
on
like,
Christmas,
are we gonna kill
dude.
People?
And we our party was December 23rd, so we thought we killed him. Then we didn't do another.
We can never play songs by our favorite bands.
Oh shit!
So we
and he died of a broken heart.
Yeah. Oh man, that was terrible. At least it was on Christmas, you know. It was his last Christmas.
Epic.
Yeah, you know what they say? Christmas is just a good time to die. No, they don't really say that.
Die with the joy of the holidays in your heart.
Exactly.
Can't be bad.
No, he was just had such an ego, he had to ruin everyone's Christmas. You know, he just was like, man.
Jesse, would you sing that for us?
No, I kind of got a sore throat, man. I'm not feeling too good.
I've been sick for a month.
Maybe it'll give it like that Aaron Lewis kind of rasp.
Let's just bust it out.
I'm
going to
give you an Aaron Lewis rasp.
Ooh.
We're going to finally have a decent little merch table too by the time Winter Disco rolls around.
Yeah, we got some new shirts on the way.
Ooh, what else?
Those are cool. My buddy Matt Gray did the artwork on there.
What else?
Really, really, really cool. My buddy Cameron, Speak Truth Printing, he's doing the print job. Hit him up. He's got good prices. He's not trying to rip you off.
Ooh, what else?
We're going to be selling some Serco folding tables.
Yeah, Serco folding tables.
Like a home line.
I think we got the shovel coming, yeah.
Serco garden.
The whole homewares line.
We might not have the shovel at Winter Disco.
We'll have prints, too. And
but
it's going to
be
cool because prints are $10, CDs are $10, but if you get them both, it's only going to be $15. And we had Andrew Binder from Icon and Ink.
He did a really good job.
We searched a bunch of different artists. To be honest, a lot of local bands have used really good artists, Mighty Pines, Cluster Pluck, and a lot of that stuff caught our eye, so we started digging. And I'm sure we actually got bombarded with an overwhelming response of graphic designers when we made a post about it. So eventually, you know, it'd be cool to utilize all those people. But, he was really great to work with. And we decided there was quite a few, people asking if we were going to have prints. So we decided that we'd go ahead and do that with the album as well.
So we nice
pretty cool
and stocked
poster.
Up for the show. Print shirts, CDs.
Maybe some stickers.
Stickers.
Very cool.
Stickers.
One day the shovels.
So bring some spending cash. All these Sterco items make great stocking stuffers for the holidays. So
we will be accepting Visa, MasterCard, and all the
we'll have a card reader.
So if you don't,
if you
have
got your
cash,
still be good.
And if you don't Western have cash Union. And want to have cash, they got an ATM.
We'll take Western Union.
Hey, this is gonna be like our first show as like a legitimate band. Thanks,
we got card readers. Yeah.
Took 3 years.
Yeah, but we're doing things.
Trying.
So suck on what that, Gary. At? We're doing it.
We're a corporation.
We said we wouldn't talk about Gary during this.
Hey, this is between me and Gary.
Gary and I.
Gary?
Whatever, my blood is boiling.
Gary?
He doesn't like the Gary.
Gary?
Gary?
Gary, baby.
He's sweating on the interior.
Well, let's give him one more. This is you guys are talking about the live show a lot. Let's give him a little sample of what can be heard at a Sterco live show. This is a track recorded at the Halo Bar.
Yeah.
After Dark Star, right?
Dark
Star Orchestra.
We are really thankful for them too. Cody Cook's awesome to work with. We got something really cool in February we're working on, but I can't really say anything about it yet.
That dude's awesome.
But this track called Sneak Diss.
Sneak Diss is another one that Jake wrote. It's actually an instrumental.
Was this this might have been our first time playing it, I think.
No.
I think it might have been.
No, it's maybe one of the first. No, the first time playing it
was it an elevator?
Was when those fellas from overseas came in and hyped up everyone in the crowd.
No, didn't you play to Elevate? I think that's when you debuted it.
That might have been, I can't remember.
Maybe it was the...
Well, either way, it was right around then. But it's actually a really, I mean, honestly, it's not too long, which a lot of our stuff is. And the last time we had like 30 minutes between two tracks. So I figured we'd pick a couple shorter ones this time to, kind of give the basic crowd, I shouldn't say that, but like, you know, people that aren't into 20 minute jams a taste of what we do. So.
Thank you.
Game. We didn't get our first win, but it feels good to watch hockey. And what else feels good? Well, playing music feels good. So I hope drinking feels good. I hope living feels good.
Yeah, man. Well, again, you can join us at the Bootleg, and then for everything else after that, you can follow along circogrooves.com, Facebook, and Instagram. We do have Liftoff now available on all your digital platforms.
Everywhere.
Wherever you're streaming music and things. So go ahead and hit subscribe and follow on there. And then whenever the new record's out, you'll get the alert and all that stuff. So
yeah, we're actually going to be, we have a cool idea for people that, you know, we're going to do we have an idea of doing a show where we do a discount at the door for, you know, like if you're a fan and you just have us on your Spotify. So that's something that we're going to have in the works for 2019, though. Something, we're just trying to do something a little different, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's where, that Spotify's cool stuff, man. Like, it's crazy to think that you got, like, every song in your pocket now. Just
right.
I know, it's wild. Insane, dude. Yeah.
I remember my chunky 50 Zoom. Gigabyte.
You probably had a
iPod.
Zoom.
No, Cody had a Zoom.
I had both.
Yes. Of course he said.
My first one wasn't until I was like 19. It was an iPod Classic 160 gig. Those were awesome.
I had two of those.
Jeremy was waiting until marriage. So impressive.
Yeah, I didn't have a cell phone until then either.
Yeah. He was very hard to get a hold of.
But boy, when you did.
Boy, when you did.
Yep, you you can even listen to Rock Paper Podcast on Spotify now, so that's
nice.
That's how I listen.
I've seen it there. I've seen you're coming up with a lot of stuff on YouTube recently. Like,
yeah, I did. Well, I was doing it by manually, uploading him on by myself on to YouTube, and it was a real pain in the ass. And because it's like an hour long, it
takes forever. You know, yeah. Yeah.
And finally, I realized I can just do it automatically through my server, so I clicked it and made it happen. So yeah, now they're up on YouTube also for anybody that wants to listen there. So
hell yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was actually kind of frustrating trying to get the show on Spotify. Like, I'm sitting here doing all these searches, like, how do you get... Because I knew they had podcasting on there, and I'm like, how do you get your podcast on there? And I'm, like, struggling trying to find any answers. There's, like, one thing, it was, like, fill out the survey thing and submit, and then, like, I never heard anything back from that. And then I'm on my server, Libsyn, one day, and then all I got to do is click the button, and Spotify was, I was like... Why didn't anybody say that? Like, I'm doing all this trying to figure it out, and all of it was clicking one button.
One easy little
yeah,
sound.
I was like, and then they start distributing to Spotify, and I was like, oh, that was easy enough. Like, but yeah, nice. It's very aggravating. So
yeah, wow. I actually, that's something we have to thank that guy for, yeah. Cody. Throughout this, I mean, he's handled like getting the mastered tracks and you
really
know,
daily.
I mean, like, he's done literally everything for the album, the artwork. Everything. I mean, it's not really artwork. It's just, you know, our antler heads that we have on stage. We wanted to go with something
what
basic that would stick out. That would stick out in a store, you know, like in a record store.
In negative space.
So, wanted to kind of go with something a little more basic. And but yeah, he's dealt with, you know, CD Baby and getting our stuff distributed to everywhere. So everything's ready to be set to be released on the 15th.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get it in some brick and mortar.
So it's really some shit that, you know, saved the band a lot of time, for real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be cool to get it vintage vinyl, and we got also have a music record shop just opened up in their new location now, right next to Foo Bar.
Okay,
they're
yeah,
on Locust.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, really? They have a that's an interesting location.
Yeah, we definitely want to get it in some shops.
The new shop is awesome. Like, I was went over there the other day. It's beautiful. Like. Real nice, just brick walls on the inside. So like, it's really a cool space.
We'll
and
have to check it out.
Because they were in Dot Zack for quite a while, and then they just moved out of there, and they got their own building again.
Oh,
so,
nice. Yeah, I've seen Fat Buddha's throwing their anniversary party over there. I'm excited for them for that.
Yep. Yeah. So keep an eye on. Maybe come to a store near you. But again, everything will be at the party. So. Come check that out. Again, December 15th, bootleg. Be there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
We'll see you all soon.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.